It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we revisit this issue of whether or not certain statues should remain. We'll have that story from Macedonia and much more coming up on this West Virginia morning. Ohio Valley farmers planted more than 27,000 acres of hemp last year to cash in on a booming market for CBD products made from the newly legal crop. But as Liam Nehemiah reports, the price for hemp has crashed. Farmers are feeling the consequences.
CBD is a compound made from hemp that's become popular because many people believe it has a wide range of medicinal benefits. CBD sales had created high demand for hemp. As recently as July, Kentucky farmers could get more than $4 for each percentage of CBD derived from a pound of hemp. But by December, the price had crashed to less than a dollar. University of Kentucky agricultural economist Tyler Mark says the rapid increase in acres grown in the Ohio Valley and across the country created a big supply and drove down the price.
If price drops or if that percent CBD drops, those budgets can go negative pretty quickly.
That means many Ohio Valley farmers in some cases are sitting on thousands of pounds of hemp, hoping the market recovers. That includes Central Kentucky farmer Tony Silvernail.
People were like offering pennies on the dollar, and it's just like, you know what? At this point, I'll burn it before I, you know, give it away at that point.
Silvernail says he thinks the crash might keep people from growing this upcoming year. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Liam Niemeyer.
On last night's episode of The Legislature Today, energy and environment reporter Brittany Patterson spoke with Delegate Bill Anderson, chair of the House Energy Committee, and House Energy Committee member Delegate Mike Caputo. They spoke about the role coal is likely to play in the future of West Virginia's energy mix. Here's an excerpt from the interview taped live at the Capitol.
Given the understanding from you both that coal is never going to get back to the levels that we've seen in the past, what do you see as the role of your body, your committee, and your role as legislators to ensure that we're not only protecting the miners that are currently working in this industry, but we're also ensuring that these sites are adequately cleaned up? And I ask because these bankruptcies that we saw last year, they were really intense, and we're talking a lot of liabilities. What role does the West Virginia legislature play?
I believe the legislature has a role to ensure that the bonding requirements that the coal mines put up for the mining operations are sufficient to pay for the reclamation cleanup if these companies go bankrupt.
Yeah, we cannot leave the taxpayers holding the bag for bankrupt companies. It's a sad state of affairs. Many companies, you know, that were major producers in our backyard here, quite frankly, has filed for bankruptcy. Hopefully the bonds are sufficient, and those mines that do eventually close will be cleaned up without help from taxpayers. That's my hope. So
I want to turn now to an announcement that Governor Jim Justice made during his State of the State related to Ramaco Coal and this idea of turning coal into coal fiber. You know, this is something that we have heard before here in West Virginia and other coal-producing states, that there are alternative uses to the coal we used to burn for electricity, and a lot of it hasn't materialized. So I'm eager to get your impressions of the governor's announcement. Delegate?
Oh, I'm happy about the governor's announcement. I hope there's a considerable substance to that, and I'm more interested in learning more about the details of this. I do believe that the announcement by the governor that maybe we're looking at some Chinese investment in this, if we can get past the trade disagreements we have at the national level with China and get to a more stable business cycle with them. More importantly, I think for the future of coal, diversify the economy relative to the use of coal. I think that can only be positive for the future of the state.
Yeah.
Brittany, I'll be nice and say I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, I've been around this industry for 42 years. It's virtually all I have ever done. alternative uses to coal was not a new, novel concept idea. You know, there's been coal to liquids proposed, there's been coal to carbon fiber proposed throughout my entire career in this industry. But unfortunately, none of that has ever come to fruition. You know, I hope that the governor's remarks were not just words. I would fully support that. I think every member of both houses would fully support that and would help in any way we can to create more jobs for our natural resource here in West Virginia.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the legislative action that this body took last year in relation to the industry. We saw a tax break for the Pleasance Power Plant to the tune of about $12 million, $12.5 million. And last year, we also saw a severance tax cut. And both of those were billed as ways to support the industry, create jobs, and really boost production and employment. And I'm wondering, you know, having a few months and almost a year out of this, how do you think it's working? Is it working? Were those effective uses of our money?
I believe they were. I supported them. Of course, the Pleasance Power Station is one county above Wood County. I have constituents that work at the Pleasance Power Station. I think it is important to maintain the jobs, not only these people's jobs, but we're in a competitive situation with other states. Ohio has a little or no severance taxes. We had a 5% severance tax. We have an industry that is struggling, and this was an opportunity to stabilize that industry. It creates an opportunity for the governor's announcement maybe to begin to bear some fruits, and as we transition and diversify the coal portion of our economy. But I think more importantly, across the state, it's more than just some jobs at Pleasance Power Station. It's more than just some coal mining jobs. It is all kinds of businesses. The success of the coal industry in this state, or the stabilization of the coal industry, stabilizes jobs throughout the economy of this state.
Yeah.
Well, I supported both pieces of that legislation as well. The Pleasance Power Plant, I definitely think we did the right thing. We heard from the folks in that community, and really that place was on life support from the evidence that we've seen, and I think we had to do what we could. We made a $12 investment. We kept a lot of people working. As far as the severance tax goes, I hope we did the right thing. I voted for that. At the end of the day, Murray still filed bankruptcy. Don't know if it would have been worse or if it would have made any difference. But, you know, we can only look at the evidence that we have. And if we think the state has to make an investment to keep those jobs and keep the economy viable in there, the chairman talked about all the jobs that this industry supports. I mean, we can take that clear down to the corner store. I mean, you know, it's massive. So we do have to move in a direction we believe will keep the economy going.
That was Delegate Bill Anderson, chair of the House Energy Committee, and House Energy Committee member Delegate Mike Caputo, speaking with Brittany Patterson on the legislature today. To hear the full interview, visit our website at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Public Broadcasting's show, Us and Them, explores the issues that divide Americans. One of those things is our history. We've heard America's passionate differences over the statues and monuments that commemorate the Civil War. Now, in the latest episode of Us and Them, Trey Kay finds himself 5,000 miles away from home in Skopje, Macedonia, which is part of the former Yugoslavia. In this old world exotic city, Trey says huge statues of military heroes made it look like home. Here's an excerpt from the latest episode.
There's a statue right there in front of us here, yeah, in this square. Who is that?
Alexander the Great.
Who is he?
It's complicated. Was he Greek or Macedonian? I don't really care. He lived actually in the south Macedonia towards Greece, and he conquered a lot of Asia.
So the way you speak of him, it sounds like he's a hero.
Well, he's not a hero, he conquered. I can't consider somebody a hero who took something that didn't belong to him. I don't consider him my hero. He's just somebody who wanted to rule the world.
How do you feel about this statue being here?
I think it's something that shouldn't be here.
Why?
The square was nice before they redid this. Like this building, that one, this one over here. They were all different, and they were nice. They were part of Macedonian history.
What I get from that is that we have a statue here, and yeah. Statues across the river of Philip that are of Greek culture. And it looks as though with a lot of these buildings here, they seem to have like Hellenic facades on them. But it seems to me that you're saying that's not your history.
Yeah. The people don't want this, actually. Everybody I know, like, I opened Facebook after they posted about this changes when the project was announced, and everybody was posting pictures of olden times, like how it was. People still miss it the way the old square was.
While I was on the streets of Skopje talking with folks about the statues, I got a surprise. I saw a guy wearing a bright gold t-shirt with a flying WV. That's the logo of the West Virginia University Mountaineers. In West Virginia, you see it everywhere. But seeing it in North Macedonia was kind of like finding a four-leaf clover. So who are you?
My name is Kyle, WVU class of 2007.
What are you doing in Skopje?
I just took some vacation from work. I work over in the D.C. area. I'm in banking. And just rented a car and thought, the hell with it, man. Let's just drive around, see what's going on.
And where are you from in West Virginia?
I was born and raised in Parkersburg.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So come over here. Okay, so look far over there.
All right.
You see a statue. There's a guy who's on a horse. Do you know who that is?
I believe it's Alexander the Great, but we're not supposed to say that.
Why?
Well, as I understand it, there's a bit of a tiff between Greece and the newly named North Macedonia over who has the rights to some of these cultural figures. So now it's just warrior on horse. It's no longer Alexander the Great.
And we're standing under another statue. Who's that?
That one I don't know.
Okay, well, that I know.
Okay.
That is Philip II.
Ah, Philip II of Macedon. Okay, another one. Yep.
And he's looking across the river to his son.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. Well, that explains it.
So you know of the controversy that
I have followed it in the news. Yeah, because I was in Athens already, and I got to hear their side.
What's their side?
Oh, their side is this country's full of crap. They're Slavic. They have no connection to Greek peoples of ancient Macedonia, and they are culturally appropriating all these figures and have no claim to it. So that's sort of their side, and they feel very strongly about it.
And just out of curiosity, do you think that there's any relationship to this, to some of the controversies that we have in America over statues and monuments?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, for me, it's a part of history. I don't see it as anything to get all huffy about. You know, and if that's us taking down a Robert E. Lee statue in Virginia, I personally think, look, he was a guy, he was an American who fought for what he believed in at the time. I don't see any reason that it should be taken down based on something that happened in 1863. So that's my personal opinion. I don't see the problem with it.
We've been listening to an excerpt of Us and Them. It's an episode called Should History Be Set in Stone? Host Trey Kay travels to Europe to find out how the monuments and icons of history can sow division today. To hear the entire episode, tune in to West Virginia Public Broadcasting tonight at 8 or Saturday afternoon at 3. And of course, you can download the Us and Them podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.